A reading from John 2:23-25. Now while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man.
In another place, in Mark 7, we get a little bit more detail about what Jesus knew was in a man. And it goes like this: what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. For from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. When Jesus knows what's in a man, he's talking about the man apart from God, the man who has not accepted the Lord, who doesn't have the Holy Spirit. I always found this to be a remarkable sentence. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. It shakes you a little bit to know that he knows us in all the things we hide from the rest of the world.
Well, in many ways, the recognition here is that we're fair-weather friends and fans. It's as long as there's a fresh miracle and things are well, it's easy to believe and want to be a part of the movement. But when things get difficult and it's not so obvious, then people aren't going to want to believe. And we're going to see this in Jesus' career. There are people who will be attracted initially by the miracles, but when he gets to the hard teachings, John says, and some of these things he said were too difficult for them, and so they turned and walked away. They're going to want Jesus for the good things, but not necessarily for the challenge of what it means to be a disciple.
Yes, it's easy to forget that Jesus had many, many more followers than the 12. The 12 were selected. We know their names, but there were many that are nameless that actually came to Jesus, and then they'd walk into these difficult situations, and it would just become too hard, and they would fade into the background and out of the picture.
Well, I do it all the time in another way. I can't imagine turning my back on God. I've seen too much of his glory and power in my life, but it's very easy for me when things go difficult to say, Lord, what have you done for me lately? And I've heard certain scholars talk about that's why miracles won't change the situation. We think if God just did one big miracle, then everybody would believe. Now, as soon as that miracle got old, the common response would be, so God, what have you done for us lately?
That impulse to say that, of demanding something of God, is so common. It's common in all our lives. And what's so odd about us, we know better in experience, but we're always expecting just our own outcomes to things. And I guess we're extrapolating a little bit from this passage, but just human nature is, why isn't it going on my track? What's wrong here? And we're not allowing God to operate. We're trying to force the direction of our lives, basically just in our vision of what our lives should be.